Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Oh, what's good, everybody? Welcome into Early Edge Live and our NFL Championship Weekend Mega Preview. We are powered, as always, by the Almighty Sports Line, the best value in all of sports betting. And what a two games we have for you. So we're going to step up our game just a little bit right here on the show. Now, we have three big giveaways that we're going to do. Now, I need you to drop your Twitter handle into the chat with that Twitter handle. Leave your best bet for this weekend's games. We're going to give away not one, but two Paramount Plus $100 gift cards. Then keep the live chat going because we'll announce another $100 Paramount Plus gift card winner on our Friday prop show, as we like to call our prop spectacular. But also, you need to follow Sportsline on Twitter, Instagram, and right here on YouTube. Do that. Oh, we're going to hook you up. There's nothing like Paramount Plus in the family. Synergy. Now, let's bring in my heavy hitters. You know, when it's the NFL, I bring in my absolute very best. First, live from Nashville, Tennessee, M Squared. What's good?
Not much, Coach. Looking forward to these games. Got a lot of interesting nuggets to share with you guys here, both about the teams, the officials, all sorts of fun stuff to dig in today.
I love it. We're going to break it down from all different sides. Now, you can't talk NFL at Sportsline without bringing up this man's name, R.J. White. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Coach. Congratulations on y'all's Chiefs win. It was a rough day for me, but it was a fun game to watch. And, you know, I think the Chiefs are the favorites moving forward, obviously.
Yeah, we're going to discuss all that, and I appreciate the sentiment. I sincerely felt – I have some of my best friends in the world are Bills fans. I felt awful for you guys. I mean, awful, awful, awful. Maestro, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, guys. I also was, you know, a little part of me was hurting for RJ during the end of that game. And, you know, I remember days where it absolutely ruins my whole week, you know, when my team would go down, and that I can't even fathom. So enough rubbing it in. Let's move on.
All right, let's move on. Let's get into this week. But guys, before we get to the two games, some big news coming out of the NFL that will absolutely affect betting lines moving forward. Maestro, let me start with you. After 16 seasons, maybe not a shock to some, but Sean Payton stepping down and stepping away, at least temporarily, from the NFL and will not coach the Saints in a season where they're staring down the barrel of being over $70 million over the salary cap.
Yeah, it's not a great situation with the cap and with the quarterback situation. You know, I think he probably was sick of looking at that offense.
And not having a quarterback, and also signing Taysom Hill to $40-some million and whatever that was. Now, RJ, when I come to you, in his press conference, he thanked everybody. Oh, Mickey Loomis, the GM, the president, and all that. But the bottom line is, the last couple of years has not been great management for the Saints. What do you think is the biggest reason Sean Payton is walking away?
Yeah, I think he needs a reset. I think it's hard to walk away when you had Drew Brees, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history, you know, as your quarterback. So you want to run that out. You figure you have a shot at the Super Bowl every year. I think he's looking at this team and says, yeah, this is not a Super Bowl team right now. It's going to take a little time turning it around. I don't think he would mind being the guy turning that around, and thinks he could probably do it. He's a very good coach, one of the better coaches we've seen in the modern era. But, you know, it's just at this point, he's like, I'm looking at, you know, a 3 or 4 year rebuild with this team probably. Do I want to commit to that on top of this? Like you said, 16 years. Maybe it's time for me to just take a little break and reset and come back in a year, if maybe to the Saints, maybe to someone else. We'll see what happens. But I think he's probably ticketed for like a TV type role and just kind of like getting to relax, rest a little bit, recuperate, and then come back strong probably a year from now.
It's so funny you bring up TV, because M Squared, he was brilliant during his press conference. He said, I haven't talked to anybody, but I think I'd be really good at TV. I think I'd be really good at radio. A few people know I'm also an agent. I have a few clients that I represent. And if my clients did my job for me, like Sean Payton did his agent's job today for him, I would be incredibly grateful. What do you think the immediate future is going to be for Sean Payton? Real quick, is Mikey low to anybody else?
Yes.
Okay, Mikey, you're really low. Your microphone, we can't hear you at all, but I can hear you talking, but it's really, really low.
Well, I'll look into it. I'll jump back in.
Okay, awesome, awesome. We'll come back to you. Well, I'll pose the same question while we're waiting on Mikey. What do we think because the logical landing spot would be sit out for a year, and then – many people don't realize that he lives in Dallas in the offseason because his family lives there. He got a divorce and his kids go to school in Dallas. So that would be at least Maestro the natural landing spot for him.
Yeah, well, there's going to be a ton of speculation. He's going to coach again. He is a tremendous offensive mind. Maybe didn't get the full maximum out of the Drew Brees years. But yeah, he's going to have his pick of jobs come 2023. That will be, yeah.
No, no doubt about it. Now, as far as the Saints are concerned, RJ, is there even a scenario that you could look at and say they could be a playoff team next year?
I think so. I think kind of depends on the competition in the NFC. I think that they're in the right division. They're as long as they can put together a competent offense, they're probably second in the division. And if Brady decides to hang it up, who knows? Maybe they can compete because who knows who's going to be the Tampa quarterback. Brady has done a lot on that end. So I don't think it's a terrible job. I know that the cap is an issue, but you know, they've done cap magic for 10 years running. And they just because Sean Payton's leaving, he's not the guy that's the cap whiz. You know, they got guys there that can handle that and rearrange some stuff. I'm sure like they do every year. So I don't think it's a terrible job. I think they can still be competitive. They got a great defense. But you know, they got guys you need to sign to extensions plus with the cap stuff. So you know, we'll see how it is moving forward, but I don't think this team is destined to bottom out or anything, as long as they don't have a net a zero at the quarterback position. Like if Drew Lock is quarterback of the team, then good luck. But if they can find, you know, a decent quarterback, then I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll see how healthy Jameis Winston is. You know, people forget, too, 16 years ago, this was not a job anybody wanted. It was right after Katrina. There's a lot of issues going on. Mikey, do we have your microphone fixed, do you think? No, still not working. Still not working.
See if you got anything there?
No, now it is. Now it is. Okay, yep, perfect. You're good to go. Good to go. Do you want to comment real quick on Sean Payton?
Yeah, just say that he spent a lot of time around another guy who did a lot of TV work this past year, Mr. Drew Brees, probably has had a few conversations about that life as well. So I see a few vacations, a little golf course time, and some TV studio time in his immediate future. And then I definitely could see him returning to the sidelines at some point, but I do not think it will be for next season.
I was a little shocked that he said that TV networks have not reached out yet, but maybe they didn't know. Maybe they didn't know that he was even thinking about it, but I was a little bit surprised by that. And I thought it was absolutely, he mentioned it for a reason in the press conference because he didn't have to, but he did extensively. All right, guys, let's spin it forward. Now we've got two incredible games this weekend coming off four games that all finished on the last play of the game. We couldn't have gotten any better games collectively than what we had last weekend. So RJ, let's start with you. First game. Bengals Chiefs. Chiefs -7, total 54.5. I think the big question for this game is how do the Chiefs rebound emotionally and get right back up for another very, very difficult matchup?
I don't think it's a problem at all for the Chiefs to do that. They, if you know their playoff history, I'm sure you're aware, they're coming back from double-digit deficits a lot and keep winning games. I mean, this is nothing new to them to turn around right back, reset, and go out and win another game. So I don't think this is going to hamper them at all from that end. Now, that said, I think Cincinnati probably is a little bit too much of an underdog in this game. They haven't been at their best in the playoffs, and they're still winning games. What happens if things click? You know, this is the week that things click, and they get into their own Josh Allen-type shootout with the Chiefs. You know, they needed a goal line interception against the Raiders to secure their first win. Tannehill melted down in the second one, threw a pick. Beginning of the game, end of the game, and that's really what sealed it for them. I think Burrow's been playing fantastic. The 80% of the time, he's not on his back because he's getting sacked. So as long as the offensive line can find something season there, and Chiefs are only 28th in adjusted sack rate, I believe, on defense. So maybe he won't see as much pressure there. And since he's able to be competitive in this game, I don't think since his defense is going to slow down the Chiefs that much. But you know, who knows? Tyrann Mathieu not being cleared is going to hurt the Kansas City side as well if he doesn't get cleared. So hopefully he can play. He's a great player. We want to see him in these type of games. But the Bengals confident, having beaten the Chiefs, I think coming to be competitive in this game. I'm looking for 7.5 so I can play the Bengals.
All right, Mikey, let me come to you. And I will say this, that you all know I have a source within Kansas City and near the Chiefs, if not in the organization. And he has told me today that they believe that Tyrann Mathieu will be cleared, if not tomorrow, but certainly by Thursday. But they fully expect Mathieu to be on the field come Sunday. Now, Mikey, based off of what we saw last weekend, Burrow has not looked great. He did not look great, but now he may be forced, and we know that based off of last week, into a shootout, like RJ just said. How much do you think the first game this year will affect how Joe Burrow attacks this game?
I mean, I think they'll attack it in a similar way. Whether or not they'll have a bunch of success, I think it really comes down to some of how some of the officiating is called. I know in that game against Kansas City that they won, they had three pretty key penalty flags that really helped them out, all three of them on the same player on the Kansas City side, which obviously really helped them get into position to win those games. I think the biggest difference, though, that separates Joe Burrow and Cincinnati from Kansas City and Buffalo, who both teams, I make them -7.2 in this matchup against Cincinnati, no matter who it was going to be. The big differentiator, though, is Joe Burrow is not as mobile as Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't extend plays as well as those two guys. And that's where ultimately I think that they were going to get into trouble. But again, I make Kansas City -7.2 here. I think the number is efficient where it's at. I'd have to be like probably 9 to feel comfortable playing Cincinnati myself.
Wow.
But I like it at -7.2. One thing I'll talk about, though, with the Bengals, they were called for the second fewest penalties in the NFL this year. So when you look at their net differential, they benefited from 44 calls this year, which led the entire NFL. The umpire, the official for this game, Bill Vinovich, he calls the fewest penalties in all of the NFL. That's who's reffing this game here. It will be very interesting to see if the Bengals get that benefit that they've had all season with the 44 calls in their favor, if that kind of comes into play here, if it helps the Chiefs at all, who, again, racked up penalties against Burrow in that passing game. It'll be very interesting to see if that'll be a factor in this one.
Maestro.
Yeah, but the record is 1-5 with Vinovich as the ref, and the Chiefs are 6-3 with him. Take it for what you will, 2-0 this season, but it's not his crew. He's the head ref, yeah, but it's not the same group of guys that he normally works with. You look back at that first game, the Bengals had 23 first downs. 6 of them came by penalty. There were 3 third down pass interference calls. Is that going to happen again? And not only Mathieu we have to wait for, but Fenton, who did get burned in that first game with some flags, but he is a very good cover corner. He missed this past game against the Bills, has the back injury. There was no update on him yet. So those are two guys that I'm definitely waiting on to see. But, you know, Burrow, I agree he's not mobile. I agree he has not been, lights out, but he's amazing the way he holds on to the ball. The guy gets sacked mm-hmm. so often. And, Matthew Stafford, that's 4 fumbles. 9 sacks is like 4 fumbles. But no fumbles for Burrow.
It's amazing. It's amazing. So here's what I want to do, because a lot of our best bets this week are centered on the Chiefs game as an anchor and then throwing the Rams 49ers into a teaser. So I want to do our best bets right now and then go over the totals, because we saw last week that other than the Chiefs, I believe we only 1-3 to the under, but we'll attack the total in a second. But I want to do our best bets right now. And Mikey, I want you to start, please.
Yeah, so I'm going to tease the Chiefs down to -1 with the 49ers +9.5 here. Makes a lot of sense. I think I make the Chiefs -7.2. They're playing at home. I obviously think that they get the job done and get the win. And then the 49ers, I really like another divisional matchup, a team that they're very familiar with. I like their odds of keeping this one within the 9.5. Very key number here in these divisional games. It's really short and simple there. One other note, I know it's not the same exact crew, but head referee in this game for the 49ers, Carl Cheffers, called the most penalties in the NFL this year, almost 900 yards more than the umpire, the head referee in the Kansas City game.
How crazy is it that now the referees and the crews are becoming as big of a story as the game sometimes? That's something that we don't want to see. All right, RJ, I'm coming to you next. What's your best bets for this week?
Yeah, I like the under in that 49ers-Rams game. The Rams looking good defensively. We saw they gave Brady a lot of trouble there. But their fumbles on offense, like Larry was talking about, stopped them from putting the game away. Jimmy G struggled in the playoffs, 27 of 44, 303 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions. This is a bad matchup for him. I don't think San Fran scoring a ton of points, but their defense can keep the team in the games. The Rams are only a team to score 20-plus in regulation against San Francisco since week 13, and they only had 265 yards in that game. So it's not like they lit up the place either. So I think that's going to be a low-scoring game. I took it under 46.5. And then the prop I like, Jamar Chase, over 82.5 receiving yards. I mean, he's blowing by 100 every game, you know, that he's actually had play in. You know, I think he had 9% of the snaps in that week 18 game, but the other four, he's just 100, 100, 100, and then two, I think 260 against the Kansas City and three touchdowns. So I don't know if they have a plan to stop him this time, but nothing anyone's doing is working. He gets that ball in his hand and he could break it at any time. So 82.5 seems like a low number. I'm just going to keep hammering this over.
Yeah, five catches, 109 last week against the Titans in a game that wasn't even a wide open game. Just think, you know, when it's wide open, you mentioned it, he goes north of 200. This dude is an absolute animal on the field. All right, Maestro, what do you got for us this week?
Well, just to back up RJ on the total, six of the last seven Niners games have gone under. And in this meeting with the Rams, they have been able to run the ball 75 rushes for nearly 300 yards in those two matchups. Kyle Shanahan just has a way with the misdirection, with the motion to get the running game going, which obviously bleeds the clock. And that defensive front four is awesome. I believe they had five sacks and 13 hits on Stafford in the final regular season meeting. So I definitely lead under, definitely taking the Niners just in terms of, I think it's a toss up game. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, oh, he's beaten him six straight times, he's going to beat him a seventh, but these teams are, to me, are basically even, and I don't think there's much home field edge in that stadium. We know there'll be a lot of Niners fans despite the restrictions on the ticket selling. So I'm going to take the Niners, keep riding them. Teaser, just like Mikey said, with the Chiefs just to basically win the game, plus the Niners all the way up to 9.5. And then I love this prop of Travis Kelce. We saw what he's done the last two games. I believe it's about 200 receiving yards, but you can go back his last five playoff games. He's averaging almost 100 yards. Look back at the first matchup. He did very little, 25 yards, five catches, seven targets, but that he was coming off COVID. So I'm going to throw that out. The Bengals give up a ton to tight ends. I think it's like second most targets. And like we talk about, you know, in big time spots, Travis Kelce is going to be heavily involved.
Man, did anybody see the video today that was posted? And we're taping this on Tuesday of Travis Kelce. It was like inside the NFL audio of him on that final 13-second drive. Has anybody seen it yet?
Yep. I heard that he basically orchestrated it or something.
The whole thing. So he walked up to Tyreek Hill and he said, hey, the way they're playing defense, let me get in front of you and I'll just get in everybody's way. That was the first play, right? And then the second play, because they called the timeout, he walked up to Patrick Mahomes and he said, the seam's open, the seam's open. And then Mahomes says, Kelce, do it. When he was calling, the barking out, like getting ready to snap, Kelce, do it, Kelce, do it. And he did it and it was incredible. So it's on Twitter right now. It's inside the NFL. It's incredible sound. Incredible sound. But if it wasn't for that drive, it wasn't for that final crazy 2 minutes, the under would have come in. So let's attack the total in this game for a second, because currently it's at 54.5. Now, normally you got to be very, very careful, Mikey, when you're talking about totals, because it's all about just win and advance. What do you make of the total in this one?
Yeah, I think it's just a touch too high where it's at. It's going to be one that's very uncomfortable to play the under on it when you have offenses like this that can put up points. But once it gets over 54, it's definitely too high. I make this one 52.7, in between 51 and 54. Obviously, really, really key spot in these games. But yeah, I think that it comes down to Can they?
Mike, you're dropping out again. I think you have a short in a cord because now you just went. Now we can't hear you again. So I think it's a cord that's shorted out. And I apologize for interrupting you, but I just can't hear you. Maybe dump out all the way and then come back in. Maybe that'll fix it. In the meantime, Maestro, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say that of the four game, of the four, you know, side total, four different options, this thing has moved the most. Opened in the 51 neighborhood, now up to 54.5 through a lot of key numbers. It's a little too high for me right now, but I'm still lean over. I mean, the first meeting was 34-31, and I think the Chiefs left some out there on the field in that first meeting.
RJ?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I would have played over at the earlier number. I think now you're not getting as good value. Obviously, 54.5 is just a lean to me to the over because I see the Cincinnati team. They could give some turnovers too and give some easy points to the Chiefs if that offensive line is not working well. But I think either way, Burrow's going to score a ton of points in this game. He's not. I don't think he has the Allen, as you said, rushing ability to keep up in that sense. But he can put points on the board as we've seen. So this just feels like Chiefs scoring 40 points a game at this point. This feels like it has to go over. But by no means is it a lock at 54.5. I'm just leaning there.
Yeah, it's one of those things you want to wait. It kind of feels like to me one of those games you wait to see how your other bets are going, and then you do it for fun. Sometimes you bet the over for fun and just root for points if you don't like a side. Now, something that
can I just address?
Yeah,
one thing in the chat, I'm seeing Reed's talking about Kelce at 77. I'm seeing it right now on FanDuel still at 72.5, and earlier today, all major books that I was checking had it at 72.5.
Okay, very good. Mikey, can we hear you?
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
I'll back him up on that. It's 72.5 pretty much everywhere.
It went right away. You went right away.
No?
Can't. Now I can't. It's, you have a short in your cord. Yeah, I know you definitely. Do. Yeah, all you're right. Going in and out. Ah, damn it. I really want to know what you had to say. Try it again. See if it works.
I just say I have Kelce all the way up to 83 yards in the simulation. You can find it 72.5 everywhere. So I fully support this play. Back it up.
Okay. Very, very good. One of the things I think that people at home have to be very, very careful of this week. When you look at some of the numbers, Tyreek 11 for 150, Kelce 8 for 96, Mahomes 60, you know, a lot of these numbers were bolstered by that final 2 minutes and by all the craziness that happened. Maestro, let me start with you. How careful do we need to be not just to blankly say, oh, all the overs came in on the props last week. It's going to happen again this week.
Yeah, I mean, that was a once-in-a-lifetime type of finish, but I think we're looking at a competitive game with two offenses that cannot be stopped by these defenses. You know, I mean, the Bengals' three wideouts are probably as good as there is. You know, who's stopping the Chiefs with all their weapons? I mean, nobody. Plus McKinnon, you know, coming out of the backfield, just, you know, showed up the last few games, and all of a sudden, you know, he's just exploding. So I think both teams are going to not run the ball. And I think both teams are going to air it out.
Yeah, RJ, when you look at the different props that hit last week and where we may angle ourselves this week, other than Ja'Marr Chase, who you already love, is there another player in this game that you think the matchup suits them really, really nice?
Yeah, I was going to be playing the Kelce overs too, like Larry did when I looked earlier in the day. They didn't have him up yet, but I put a note down, said over on Kelce props, since he's allowed the fifth most receiving yards to tight ends in the regular season. You know, he's going to be a focal point of that. So that's kind of where you want to go. So I would look there. I think Bro probably hits his over 289.5. He's at 300 plus in five of his last seven, had 446 in that KC game. And then Boyd, I'd probably go under 36 or less than three straight, including against Kansas City. It seems like they're going to funnel it to you know, Higgins and Chase there and Mixon. Mixon's becoming more of a player in the passing game too. I think he had 6 for 40 last week, something like that. So I kind of looked at his over on his reception props. If they're not too high, if they come in that 3.5, 4.5 range, I think you're good playing those two. So those are kind of the guys I'm looking at now. Boyd on the unders, Mixon on the receiving overs. Love the Kelce over that Larry's on, and looking to the Burrow over too.
Mikey, let's go to the other side on the quarterback. And last week, very, very easy. What, first quarter, we would cash the Patrick Mahomes rushing total. He had that 40-some-odd run. Do we think that this will be another Patrick Mahomes puts the Kansas City Chiefs on his back with his legs and his arm?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's
spot on. Yeah, we lost you again, bud. Ah, damn it. Yeah, it's definitely a short in the thing. So sorry about that, M Squared. Darn it, man. We really want to. Of course, follow him on social media. He always has tons of good takes there as well. And he'll be on the morning show all this week as well. All right, gentlemen, let's spin it forward to game number two. Now, this is a rematch from just, what, 3 weeks ago when the Rams were up by 17 and we thought the 49ers were dead and gone. They needed to win that game to get into the playoffs. Then they came back and they did it. Then they go on the road and win. Then they go on the road again and win in the snow. Now, let me start with you, Maestro. The 49ers can look at their quarterback play and say, you know what? He really did nothing, and we still won the game. How much does Jimmy G need to do this week? Because all of his numbers cast the unders last week.
Yeah, well, he needs to do more than he did. He gets victimized by some really bad drops early in the game that would have made his numbers look better. You know, Kittle, I think it was going to be a 55-yard potential touchdown. That was just a clear drop. This guy is 15-4 against the number as an underdog. He's 4-1 in the playoffs. You know, somehow, even with those big mistakes that he can make, he does enough. And you look at Debo Samuel, just looking at his numbers, and thanks to Made Him Focus in the chat for pointing this out. His two games against the Rams were pretty sick. 140 combined in the last meeting. And in the first meeting, he was also up to 133. So Debo Samuel, the guy is pretty much unstoppable right now.
He is unstoppable, but also RJ Cooper Kupp is unstoppable. I'm still blown away that they decided, the Buccaneers, when they had all that momentum, that they would decided to rush Matthew Stafford, leave Cooper Kupp in one-on-one, and that gorgeous pass. He had 9 catches for 183 yards. Now, they held him in check the last time they played. But what do you think happens this week?
Yeah, I think they were expecting they could get to Stafford and make him fumble it again, because he just kept on fumbling in that game. But, Kupp probably has a good game. This is a tough matchup for him. I think it's a tough matchup passing the ball anyway. Jimmy G, like I said, he had struggled in the playoffs. I know that they drove back in that last game, 5-play, 88-yard drive under 2 minutes left to get that touchdown drive, which was pretty low probability, but they got it. But Jimmy's in a worse state now, dealing with those injuries. Going to need surgery after the season, it looks like. So, I can't expect another rally if the Rams go up again, which they did against the Buccaneers. And if they do that here, that's going to be trouble. Debo also dealing with a knee injury. You know, it's probably going to be fine, but still something to monitor. Maybe it's get aggravated during the game. I mean, if he comes off the board and he can't play, you know, his normal amount of snaps because of some aggravation during the game, I mean, it might be good night at that point with Jimmy probably not able to carry the team with his injuries. So, it's going to be an interesting game. The thing about that San Francisco, you quote the Jimmy stats and all that, he's not really the product of San Francisco ever having success. It's what the weapons around him, the run game, Shanahan scheming, the defense. And that defense can keep the team in the game. The Rams are the only team to score 20 in regulation, like I said, in the last five or 6 weeks against this team. And they didn't really have a ton of yards. I think they haven't given up more than 307 yards in any game since week 14. So I like that Niners play at 3.5. You have to get it at 3.5. But I'm really not comfortable playing them with the state of that quarterback and the injury. And
the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. With available H-Track all-wheel drive, so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
It just doesn't seem, you know, like something I want to do. So that's why I played the under. I might look to the Rams at -3 once it gets there, but on the spread, but more of a fan of the under in this game.
Yeah, I think that's why Maestro and M Squared leaned into the teaser as opposed, because you're getting that extra 6 points. Maestro, what do you have?
Yeah, I just want to say that the safety play on the 49ers is a little bit better than the Buccaneers. I mean, a guy like Jimmy Ward, 2 picks against the Rams in the first game. Stafford threw two picks. I'm just checking it out, but I believe two picks in each game against the 49ers. So if you want to talk about Jimmy G and his faults, I think we got to talk about Matthew Stafford
sure.
and the potential for him to make mistakes against a very good pass rush.
Well, some tickets that we've been cashing a lot with these two teams is AB is kind of our quarterback whisperer here on the show. And we hit that over half an interception. It seems like every time Matthew Stafford plays, and then last week, Jimmy G as well. So that's always a play we'll look at. And of course, we usually wait until game time to see how the week has gone, what reports we're getting and those types of things as well. RJ, let me come back to you because the total in this is 46.5. You're on the under, but there's going to be a lot of people to say, oh, it was 17-0. They came back. We can easily get to the over, but how much stock do you take in either the under that we saw in Green Bay, and we know it was a big comeback, but the over coming in with the Rams?
Yeah, more likely to put stock in the under. Obviously, some on the under. It's just that offense, Jimmy. You know, they haven't scored a touchdown offensively in the passing game the last couple of weeks. I think they had one offensive touchdown in that first game that they won, and then got by with field goals. You know, I think Elijah Mitchell had a touchdown there, but you know, so it's a thing where I don't trust him that much to score a bunch of points if it turns into a shootout. I know Stafford has struggled at times. It seems like whenever I try to play for the Stafford struggle game, like I did last week against the Bucks. He comes out and is amazing, and then so yes. I don't get it, you know. And then now I'm San Francisco. I'm like, well, a lot of experience here. He's playing well. A lot of weapons. He'll come in. He'll be fine. I actually do like his under on 277.5 passing yards. I think that San Francisco rush is too good. I think they're going to hit to the run a lot. They're going to go short pass a lot. They're going to try to not make sure he's throwing 40 times and could make those backbreaking mistakes. So I think they're going to try to take the ball out of his hand, and he's not as much of a factor. He doesn't have to go win the game for him.
And I agree. I just want to say, because Sean McVay has been leaning on the run, as you saw what happened when he got up, he was just running the ball right into the middle of the line. And that was part of the reason the Bucs came back. But he has wanted to go run heavy down the stretch, probably because of Stafford's mistakes. And, you know, Stafford has two straight games without an interception. I mean, is he going to go three without an interception? If they're playing from ahead and they can run the ball and throw it short, yeah. But again, also Beckham is playing. The thing that worries me as a 49ers backer is I just feel the Rams weapons are better now than they have been at any point this season. When you talk about Cam Akers, talk about OBJ, you talk about Higbee and Kupp and Jefferson. I mean, he's got a ton of weapons.
He really, really does.
If he just doesn't force things, you know, but I will bet that he will force things and throw one pick.
I would bet that you are right, Maestro. I would bet that you are right. OBJ, by the way, 6 catches, 69 yards last week. Both of those numbers sailed over his numbers. He has certainly earned himself a lot of money in the free agent market coming up in the offseason. So let's talk props for a second. Don't forget, 2 p.m. Eastern time on Friday, our props extravaganza with Uncle Dave from Fantasy Football Today and, of course, Prop Stars and Sia. Because in this game, unlike the Chiefs and Bills, we did not have a lot of numbers sail to the over. We got George Kittle, didn't we, Maestro? But that wasn't until that final drive that we're able to cash that. Is this a game that you can see that any overs come in? Because we know the public loves to play overs. But maybe this is the game that we have to be very, very disciplined, Maestro, and say there's going to be a lot of unders as far as the props market is concerned.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of the receivers, just with the run volume that both RJ and I are expecting, you could definitely look at some of those receiving unders. There's so many mouths to feed, you know, especially on the Rams. But Deebo Samuel as a touchdown scorer, I mean, that's something to look at. Cooper Kupp as a touchdown scorer. I mean, those guys are basically getting it every single week.
What about you, RJ? What are you thinking as far as the prop market this week?
Yeah, I think unders are a pretty good call, but there are two like secondary receiving over options. I would look to Brandon Ayuk at 48.5 receiving yards. The Rams do allow the fourth most receiving yards in the league to receivers in the regular season. Second fewest touchdowns. They don't mind giving up a little, you know, just as long as you're not beating them deep, they'll give you some. And I think Ayuk could do a little work there, get, you know, a 15, 20 yard gain, a couple of those and get over this total, even if he's not going to get a touchdown. And then you mentioned Tyler Higbee. He's been over 40 yards in six straight, but San San Francisco defends tight ends well, so not really a lock. You guys are understand why the number what got put at 39.5. I would probably lean him going over that, expecting San Fran to do a pretty good job on those receivers. But Higbee being, you know, a little more open, he had a good game last week, and I think he can carry that over here.
All right. Very, very good. I think so as well. Now, if that's a defense that can keep Green Bay in check, then you got to believe they can keep the Rams in check. Who's back, our OG. Yeah,
my and I just chime in that Debo has scored 8 of the last 10. Kupp has scored 7 of the last 8.
So anytime touchdowns, if you get the right price, might be a good bet as well. Mikey, welcome back. I know you've probably been listening off air. Anything you'd like to weigh in on right now that you've been chomping on?
Just that I lean towards the 49ers in the game. Obviously, I have them in the teaser up to +9.5. I would be on it for sure at 4. It's not going to go to 4. It's likely to finish at 3. I expect that to be where this game closes. If it, for some reason, hits 4 and I'm not laying, if I can get a standard -110 on the 4, then I'll end up going ahead and playing the 4. But if not, I'm just going to leave it in the teaser. I really respect the defensive ability, and I respect Shanahan a ton. I respect his ability to just keep it close and competitive and keep his football team in the football game. That's what he's very good at. You saw it at Green Bay. They really didn't have much business winning that game, but they ended up winning the game because they were there and in a position to get lucky enough to do it. So I think we see a similar result here. I think that they rely on their defense and they're just within striking distance enough. I do think that it'll be a field goal game either way.
Very good. Maestro, I know you got to go with the big boys over at CBS Sports HQ. Thanks, pal.
Enjoyed it, guys.
All right. That is Larry Hartstein. We call him the Maestro. You can catch him over on CBS Sports HQ right now, giving all of his incredible NFL analysis over there also. Gentlemen, I know the one thing that most people don't realize is that there are what we call look-ahead lines that you can bet a game before it actually happens. So having you two here right now, I have to do this before we get out of here. The look ahead. What a matchup in the Super Bowl would look like. Mikey, quickly, what would the look ahead lines be? I know you've got them somewhere there for all the matchup possibilities next weekend.
Trying to pull them up again. Seem to have lost.
I got you right here. I got the Chiefs. Right, yeah, Chiefs at -1.5 against the Rams and -2.5 against the Niners. The Rams at -3.5 against the Bengals, 49ers -1.5 against the Bengals. So getting a point on the Chiefs matchups if you go to San Francisco, and it looks like it drops 2 points on the Bengals matchups for some reason. There's a discrepancy there.
All right, so let me ask you this, RJ. I'll start with you. For the Chiefs, what do you think is the best matchup in the Super Bowl?
Well, I think you want to see the 49ers. I think you're just worried about who can score with you. And I know Stafford's had his issues, but that offense, Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham, Matthew Stafford, the running game, they could go toe-to-toe with the Chiefs if they're at their best. And they have all those defensive weapons, Von Miller rushing along with Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey on the back end. That is a star lineup, you know, on both sides of the ball. And so if anybody's going to give them trouble, it's them. San Francisco, you have to think with Jimmy G being limited and being dealing with injury, not going to be 100% for that game. San Francisco probably isn't going to limit Kansas City, you know, defensively, the way that Kansas City offense is playing. So if I'm a Chiefs fan, I want to play the 49ers. I would lay those points with the Chiefs either way. Before this weekend, the look ahead line, you bet AFC team versus NFC team. AFC was underdog by 1 point and it was a +100 on the money line. I'm like, play that, because what if Bills or Chiefs, either one make it through. I mean, even against the Packers, I would take them at this point. And Packers lost. I think that was the only reason that it was -1 was because people expected the Packers to make it. And they were like, maybe they're going to be a favorite over the Titans or one of these AFC teams sneak through. But now it just seems clear if the Chiefs get through, they're going to be the favorite. And 1.5, 2.5 isn't enough for them.
I think they were like +120 to win it all. I saw at FanDuel or one of those. The Chiefs were the betting favorite right now. Mikey, your thoughts on who would be the best for the Chiefs to face?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely the 49ers are the best matchup for the Chiefs just because of what RJ said. It's really, out of all the teams there, you're asking the 49ers to go score 30 points. It's, you know, it's a chore, right? It's really difficult for them to get to that number. And I think that's what it'll take against Kansas City. So I have, like RJ, I have a pretty big edge on Kansas City either way. But if they play the 49ers, my sim model on that one is just absolutely ridiculous. It's up to -6.1. There's no way we'll see a line that way. I think that we would see the line close 3.5, though. I don't think if you hung Kansas City 3 out there right now, there's not a chance that it wouldn't get bet up over a field goal against the 49ers outside of Tyreek or Travis Kelce being injured in a game that they win and move on kind of thing. So, yeah, I make them all the way up over 6 points there. I make them 3.5 against the Rams. The market will definitely not move it to that point. Probably 2.5 is where the market would move from that 1.5 on the Kansas City game. But either way, the Chiefs would definitely be favored over either of those matchups.
All right, so the Chiefs are the betting favorite currently. I want to know from you, RJ, what do you think would be the best game from a fan standpoint, but also from a betting standpoint? Because we know that game script is everything, right? We know that the Bills-Chiefs was fun because of all the numbers. What do you think would be the best matchup in your mind?
Yeah, I think anywhere the Rams are involved in, I'd be fine with. I think, you know, Rams-Chiefs, like I said, I think that if Rams are at their best, that could be, you know, a Buffalo-type game going blow for blow, points in the 40s. A lot of fun games, a lot of overs to bet there. But I think Rams-Bengals could be pretty fun, too. You know, shudder to think Joe Burrow behind that the offensive line, Bob Miller and Aaron Donald rushing him. But we saw in Tennessee, he got sacked more than any quarterback has in a postseason game ever, and he turned around and won that game. So he can have effect. You know, he could be effective even if he's getting sacked because he's just so good and he has so many weapons there. It'd be fun watching those two teams with their weapons go toe-to-toe. So I'd be fine with either of those. I think the 49ers being in it would be the one that is the least fun, except for, you know, a guy named Debo Samuel. Watching him run around in the Super Bowl would be pretty awesome. You know, get 10 carries in that game and 5 receptions and just take over the game. I mean, you just put in your Super Bowl MVP bets, you know, on Monday morning if the 49ers upset the Rams this weekend, because that's who's going to be Super Bowl MVP if the 49ers win, is Debo Samuel.
Man, and that's a fast track at SoFi too, isn't it? That is a fast track. Mikey, what do you think would be the best Super Bowl betting-wise, fan-wise?
I say Chiefs-Bills at a neutral site. Let's figure out a way to make that happen at a neutral site. I think that's what we all want to see again. But, I mean, I think Chiefs-Rams is the most compelling. If you're tired of Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, then I guess you could make the argument you'd like to see Joe Burrow in there. I personally don't think it would be very pretty. Just I don't think that offensive line is going to be able to protect him enough against that Rams defense. So I think it's got to be Chiefs-Rams as far as what would be the most entertaining to watch. If you're just a fan of the game, not a fan of any of the teams, just like NFL football, I think it has to be Chiefs-Rams.
And if you think that the Chiefs are going to be there, like my guy said, you may want to get ahead of the game because it may just shoot up as soon as the official line comes out. All right, real quick, we're going to wrap things up by doing our best bets one more time. So, AB, if you can, there you go, my man. Now, Mikey, what is your official best bet so far for the week?
All right, Kansas City -1 with the 49ers, +9.5 in a teaser here. I think the Chiefs get the job done at home. I think the Niners are able to keep it within the pretty key number here at 9.5. Other plays, I haven't officially played Travis Kelce yet, but I have a very strong lean on Travis Kelce's over. And then I will note on some of the Cincinnati receivers, while I may not be on their overs to start, I will be looking for in-game plays, and I will be looking at some of their longest reception props is my way to attack those.
To clarify, Kelce catch over or his yardage over?
Yardage over.
All right, so you'll piggyback Larry there on that one, as he made that an official play as well, which is always a good thing when Mikey and the Maestro are on the same play. RJ, talk to me.
Like that Kelce over as well. If it was on the board Tuesday morning, I would have sent it in as the best bet too. But my plays here for the show are Rams 49ers under 46.5. I just think it's going to be more of a defensive battle, and the San Francisco quarterback situation there with Jimmy dealing with an injury. You know, they haven't been scoring a lot of points, and I think that continues here. And then Jamar Chase over 82.5 receiving yards. He's just unstoppable really at this point. And we saw if Gabriel Davis can catch for 200 yards against the Chiefs, Chase might, you know, have 1,000 in this game. So there's no number you could hang that's probably going to be high enough for me to not play Chase.
I completely agree with you. We can't guard anybody. Even though I'm a Chiefs fan, I know that we're going to have to outscore them because our defensive backfield is bad. hopefully Matthew will be back, because if he's back there, I think that game would have been a little bit different, but I don't know how much different it would have been against Buffalo. The Maestro is on 49ers at that 3.5 number. He's also on the teaser that Mikey's on Chiefs and the 49ers, and then the Kelce over. By the way, Kelce hit both of his numbers, the catch number and the over number, including that game-winning touchdown as well. Don't forget, we'll be back at 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on this YouTube channel. If you are not a subscriber yet, please do that for me. It is free of charge. Then if you want to become a Sportsline member or try it out, use the promo code EDGE. I'll give you 30 days for free. You can have all the cappers, all the analysis. All my experts like Mikey and RJ and Maestro are there every single day. So there's only one thing left to do. And I think you all know what that is. It's to announce the winners of our two Paramount Plus $100 gift cards. See, I got you. I got you. Here we go. A congratulations goes out to Jack Caraher. That's C-A-R-A-H-E-R. And our man Reed Phillips, who's always active in the chat. I told you, if you're active in the chat, you keep it positive. You never know when you could win something. You also need to pound that like button for me if you could. So congratulations, Jack Caraher and Reed Phillips. You will have a $100 Paramount Plus gift card coming your way. AB will reach out to you on social media and give you all the details. Also, we'll give away another one in our prop show at 2 p.m. Eastern on Friday. Now, there's only one thing left to do. And y'all know what that is. You've got your marching orders. Let's take all of these future tickets straight to the pay window. My entire crew, nobody better doing the National Football League. Maestro, RJ, M squared, AB on the ones and the twos. I am the coach. Tell all your friends there's only one sports betting brand you even need to worry about. And it's right here. We call it the Early Edge. Good luck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.